Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the examples of people within your word who lived a life faithful to you. Lord, may we learn from their example this morning as we think about how to honour one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when you're sharing a vision that you've carried for so long with a church, and especially as you share it over three separate events, there are things that you learn about yourself, there are things that you learn about the vision itself, and there are things that you learn about God. And it is natural, I think, natural human tendency to think back over those three events and to think of some of the things I could have said better, should have communicated in a better way. Maybe perhaps this was misinterpreted or misunderstood and you second guess and doubt yourself. Phil and I were saying the other day that we definitely got better as the events went on. So if you were there on Wednesday, you had a very good version of the vision. If you were there on Sunday last week, you possibly had a slightly more garbled one. But having said that, as I was thinking about this morning, and I was reflecting on how can we kind of continue the conversation, how can we continue to help each of us to understand the vision, I was then reading the passage for today. And when I chose this passage, all of our sermon series for the whole year was put together in December of last year. So obviously there was some foreplanning, but not this level of foreplanning. And when I chose this passage for today, it was in order to pick up on the statement of becoming, the theme of honouring one another, huge part of our statement of becoming. But as I sat in a cafe on Friday writing my sermon for today and reading that passage, I realized there was an incredible connection between this particular passage in Philemon and our vision. And what's at the heart, or one of the things that's at the heart of our vision. So much so, I was sat in a cafe, thankfully a fairly empty one, with my headphones in, my laptop in front of me, my Bible open, and I was typing and writing away, and didn't realise at first when I went, "Yes, that's it!" out loud. I had some funny looks from the staff, because I saw this connection that I hadn't seen before. Now, you guys will know, because we preached on Philemon last year. You may remember Simon did a brilliant drama of him pretending to be Paul and writing out the letter. It was amazing. And what we'd focused on when I did that last time was the relationship between Paul and Philemon. But the thing that this speaks into our vision as we think about Onesimus is really significant. We have in front of us as a church, as a parish, some incredible opportunities to build the kingdom of God across our parish. to build a vision for the future of his church, as well as ministering to those we currently have. And what we've been laying out over the past week, we're talking about a vision that's over the coming years, not the coming weeks. This is a really long-term vision and desire and hope that we have. But in order to take some of the opportunities that are in front of us, either immediately or in the long term, we need to know and be sure that we have people who are called and committed to those specific opportunities. Hence why we've been asking people to pray about where God might like you to be involved. And that's not to do with where we worship necessarily, but, you know, St. Mary's and St. Mark's and All Saints will continue to be the centres of worship for us, for fueling and equipping us and leading us. And the hope is that when we talk about future congregations and maybe having more congregations, we hope that that's going to be built of new people who don't yet know Jesus. And so that's our heart and our desire. But in order to fulfill that, we need to have every single person in our churches stepping out into their God-given potential. And when you have someone with a God-given potential and a heart and a passion for a particular thing, and that's joined together with the gifts that they have, and then joined together with a heart for a particular place and the needs of that place, then powerful things begin to happen. And the potential of that is huge. And we will see growth, but not just the growth of the church, but perhaps even more importantly, the growth of our own faith, our own relationships with God. Regardless of how long we've walked with Jesus, we're always growing. We always have more things to learn about God and about ourselves, and we always, all of us, have a part to play in building God's kingdom in and through his church. And none of us should discount ourselves from that. And it's my firm belief that with this vision, with this desire to work towards five communities, it presents us with more opportunity than ever before for all of us to step into that God-given potential. Because in larger churches, it's really easy to hide. It's really easy to be overlooked. It's really easy to assume that other people are doing the work so I don't have to. And it's harder to provide opportunities for everyone. So it may even be that over many, many years of attending church, you've never had the chance to do the thing you have a heart to do, because the opportunities just haven't been there. And our hope and our desire, my hope and my desire, is that through this vision, there would be more opportunity for that to happen for all of us. Which is why this relationship between Paul and Onesimus is really helpful to help us reflect on this, because Paul really, really honours both Philemon and Onesimus in this passage. That's what I talked about before, is how much he honoured Philemon, in how he spoke of him, in how he prayed for him, in how he desired God's best for him. And it's no different with Onesimus. It's beautiful how Paul honours the both of them, but particularly in what he does to honour Onesimus and how that can encourage us to honour one another. To just remind you of the background, Paul is writing to Philemon with a request, and it's not an easy request. He's asking for Philemon to receive Onesimus back as a brother in Christ. Now, we don't know a great deal about the situation, but from what Paul writes, we can see very clearly that there's been a bit of a split in the relationship between Paul and Onesimus, between Philemon and Onesimus, sorry. That something has caused a rift in their relationship. And Onesimus, for some reason, is no longer with Philemon and has found himself in prison where he meets Paul. Now, Philemon may have been a wealthy homeowner, perhaps even a church leader. And the speculation that many commentators make, and probably quite understandably, by the fact that Onesimus is in prison, is maybe he has wronged Philemon by stealing from him or something like that, has run away or has been caught and been arrested, and as a result has come across Paul in prison. But what Paul does with that opportunity and with that moment of having Onesimus his undivided attention in prison. They can't go anywhere else. They can't do anything else. Is he disciples him. He teaches him the way of Jesus. He tells him of the love of God. And Onesimus' life is clearly changed and turned around. And he comes to this point of incredible transformation. And then Paul speaks of him as being his very own heart, or his son, or his brother in Christ. These wonderful words and terms that Paul uses to describe this former slave, this former person who has wronged Philemon, has found himself in prison at the depths of despair, but finds life in Christ, comes to faith, and Paul disciples him. And he's identified in Onesimus a calling and a gifting, and he's recognized that there could be an opportunity for him to continue to grow in faith if he goes back and serves alongside Philemon, no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ, to serve with him as a brother. And what strikes me is Paul's language here. He's clearly finding it quite hard to let Onesimus go. He's old in age and he needs all the help he can get. But here he is saying, I'm sending Onesimus to you, even though he is useful to me. He even says, even though I would be glad to keep him with me, I am sending him to you. And in that, he's doing a remarkable thing. He's selflessly releasing Onesimus to thrive with Philemon. He knows that both Onesimus and Philemon will thrive greater under this new partnership. And so in order to honor Onesimus, he releases him to go and to grow in his God-given potential. And in turn, that will enable Philemon to do the same. I think that's honor at its very best. Honoring by seeing potential, releasing that potential, and seeing and creating opportunities for him to thrive. We see Jesus do this all the time, more on that in a moment. But here is Paul making a huge sacrifice in order that three things may happen. Firstly, that Onesimus will grow and thrive. Secondly, that Philemon will grow and thrive. And thirdly, that the church will grow and thrive. That's Paul's heart and desire for sending Onesimus back to Philemon. As we went through the week and we talked about the vision that we shared, Phil had a really helpful analogy of his children leaving home and how painful and hard it can be to let your children go. But in order to let your children go, or when you let your children go, you're doing so in the hope that they will grow and thrive, experience life, experience the world, grow in their faith and their understanding of God and each other and the world. And you rejoice even in your grief. But you long to hear from them as well. You long to hear about what they're doing and to be part of their lives still. And that's still the case in the church. Whenever anybody, as Phil, has been released to All Saints, we delight when he comes and rejoices back with us. And we can stand here and say, okay, for the past 10 weeks, Phil has been away leading an Alpha course with Rita and with Elle and with others. And people have come to Christ through that. Three people have given their lives to Jesus as a result of that Alpha. We rejoice in that, don't we, together? Does that not fuel us and feed us as a community to say, look at what God is doing, isn't this great? And that would not have happened had we not seen potential in Phil and released him to go. And then he comes back rejoicing and we rejoice with him. And that's the picture you get here with Paul and Onesimus. Look at the person to your left and to your right, the people in front and behind. Do you desire to see them thrive? Do you see a potential in them that they maybe even don't see in themselves? Do you believe that they're currently fulfilling that potential? Do you genuinely desire to see them grow and thrive regardless of the cost to yourself or what may feel like normal? I can't think of anything more honoring than desiring that for each other. Desiring to see each other thrive. And that is essentially what our vision is about. Yes, we want to grow the church. Yes, we want to see new people come to faith. Yes, we want to have an effect in our communities and impact our communities. But we also desire to see all of us thrive, to see no one discount themselves. And I mean no one. Regardless of your age, your background, how long you've worshipped here, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, regardless of what experience you have, when there is an opportunity to be involved in the kingdom of God, that is an opportunity for every single one of us. And I believe that by having these opportunities in front of us, by almost having these wider community opportunities, it can happen more than it's ever happened before. And some of us may see dreams that we've had for years come true in us. I don't normally single out people for an example, but Rita sat right in front of me. For years and years and years, Rita saw a vision to see the hungry in Hand Cross being fed. She prayed for it, she believed for it, she trusted for it, she asked for it. And now she has the privilege and the joy of being involved in the pantry. What a wonderful joy and delight that is. And not only that, she's been involved in the Alpha that's seen people come to Christ as well. So again, joy and delight and celebration as we have seen that potential in Rita, seen the vision for what she had a heart for, that vision has sprung up and she's released to go and be involved in it. That's amazing. And I want that for all of us. For every single one of us to see that potential in us, for others to see that potential in us and to release us. And it simply won't happen if we carry on doing church the way we've always done church. Because some of those opportunities will go begging. And I believe we have an incredible opportunity here to build for the future. An incredible legacy of love and compassion in our communities. And every single one of us, without exception, has a part to play in that. And I think that's great. I think that's an exciting vision. And I understand that we have fear and trepidation around that, as Paul would have done in sending Onesimus. I'm sure he would have been worried, am I doing the right thing? Is this the right thing to do? But there's no doubt in what happened with Philemon or what he desired to see, that good came from that and the kingdom of God is built. What I desire for everyone as we look at the opportunities that lay before us, and over the coming months we'll be sharing what some of those opportunities are, and as I said, asking you to think and pray about where God wants you to be involved. We're entering a process of discernment. We're not stepping into this tomorrow. This is a long process of praying and seeking and waiting and asking and testing and trying and stepping out and taking risks in order to grow a church for the future. But I pray that as we do that, every single one of us will be able to come before God and ask the question, what part can I play in this? Where are you calling me to be involved in what you're building? And the hope is that the people around you will honour you by saying yes and amen to that. Yes and amen to what God is doing in you. Yes and amen to what God has given you. Yes and amen to the heart that you carry. Yes and amen to the opportunities that you're stepping into. And may you grow in that. Our faith will grow. We will grow as disciples of Jesus as we seek to be with him, to become like him, and to do the things that he does. And the hope is that through this vision, every single one of us, without exception, will begin more than ever before to step into our full God-given potential for the kingdom. I hope you want that for yourself. And I hope also you want that for the people around you. And for the people who don't yet know Christ, who will step into that potential as well. Paul's desire for sending Onesimus was so that he would grow and thrive, so that those he served with, Philemon and others, would grow and thrive, and so that the church would grow and thrive as well. That's at the heart of this vision. To be people who are honouring and building authentic communities through the way we honour one another. And may you and the people around you continue to give God your yes and amen to whatever he lays before us. And step into them with faith, knowing that he goes with us and leads us and guides us and teaches us and inspires us. But I also want to swing it back full circle. As exciting as this vision may be, and even as scary as this vision may be, as we said right from the beginning, there is actually only one vision, and his name is Jesus. And our desire is to grow closer to him, to become more like him, and to do the things that he does in whatever ways he calls us, for his name's sake. Amen. Going to sing a new song that we learned last week that speaks of the holiness of God, that we are crying holy to him. The whole concept of holiness is about being set apart. That is also part of the vision as well, is that as followers of Jesus, we will be set apart in our communities and leading people to him. But the holiness of God is right at the center of it all. As we said, every great move of God has begun with people on their knees saying, God, make me more holy. And that is our desire, that as we step into what he has for us, that he will make us more holy.